Today's Shizm Sechta Pesachim, Daf Tzadik Tes. We will begin at the Gemara, at the bottom of Daf Tzadik Ches Amud Beis. In our Gemara begins with a Braisa, Tana Rabbanan, Amalhem. We learned yesterday in our Shir that if there's a group that lost their Korban Pesach and one went to look for that animal, so we learned Amalhem, that he told them that if he won't find his animal, they should bring a new animal on his behalf. And Amrulai and the other members of the group told this person who went out to search for this animal, if he'll find the Korban Pesach, he should be their shliach to bring the Korban Pesach on their behalf. So the halach is Oichel Menarishin. The shliach and everybody from that group should eat from the first of the two animals that are brought. If he didn't say anything to them and they didn't say anything to him, that means they lost the Korban Pesach and they went to designate their own new animal and he went to do his own thing. So as the Mishnah taught us in yesterday's shir, they are no longer responsible one to the other. And that means, as we learned in yesterday's Mishnah, in certain circumstances, the first circumstance that we spoke about in today's shir, if we don't know which animal was brought first, or both animals were brought, as we learned, at the same time, we'll be left with a situation, we learned, that they will not be able to eat from the Korban Pesach. Most of the situations in the Mishnah, they won't have to bring Pesach Sheni, but they will not have the opportunity to eat from the Korban Pesach. Had they not said anything to each other, that wouldn't be the case. And therefore, says the Gemara, Mikanam Chachamim, based on this, we Chazal were able to teach us, Yofa Shtikel Chachamim. The best advice that Chazal could ever give us is to remain silent. Because in a situation where they spoke to each other, as we just mentioned, there are all types of scenarios that create confusion. And when they had not spoken, they would be much better off. And if this is the case with people, as the people in our Mishnah, who are trying to do the right thing, they want to bring a Korban Pesach, but they didn't really think through the repercussions of their statements, certainly in a situation where we have people who are foolish and aren't necessarily saying smart things and aren't necessarily spending their time speaking about intelligent matters. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, Mishlei, Gam Avol Machrish Kochem Michoshev, somebody who's foolish, but if he remains silent, then he looks like a smart person because his foolishness is not evident. We learned in the Mishnah that if two people had their Korban Pesach mixed up one with the other, so we learned, the Mishnah says, that each one should take another person from outside the groups and make him a member of their group, and they make the Tanai, and then they take the two animals, and they say, this animal was mine, then you're not a member of your original group, and you're with me, and so too, vice versa. Says the Gemara, may must listen like Rabbi Yehuda. If we learn our Mishnah, it seems that our Mishnah doesn't follow the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. The Tanya, the Braisa, discusses the halachas about registering on a Korban Pesach, and the Pasuk teaches us, V'im yimut habayis miyois miseh, melamed shemismata v'holchim. You could withdraw your registration from the Korban Pesach, but Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is, Ovad she'echad b'mechabura kayim. You can never have a situation that there isn't somebody left from the original group. Somebody from the original group has to still be part of the original Korban Pesach. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Ovad she'lichas Pesach k'ma shehu. Rabbi Yossi's issue is that you should never leave the Pesach without somebody who's without an owner. But the Torah is not insisting, according to Rabbi Yossi, that you have to have somebody from the original group. In other words, the machlokes of Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi is, can you withdraw to from the Korban Pesach to the degree that and have new people register on it to the degree that nobody from the original group is there. Rabbi Yehuda always needs at least one member of the original group, and Rabbi Yossi holds that there always has to be somebody who is registered on the Korban Pesach. You can't have, once the Korban Pesach has begun to be registered, a situation where nobody is left as the Korban Pesach is left without an owner. I'm Rabbi Yochanan. I feel time Rabbi Yehuda. Even if we want to say, so our Mishnah that says when these two individuals got their two Korban Pesachs mixed up with each other, that each one of them should bring somebody from the outside, and they should go that to that individual, and they should make the following tonight. That if our two Korban Pesachs got confused, now I'm going to be a member with the person from the street who owns this Korban Pesach. And the same thing, we took a person from the street and made him an owner on the other, a registrant on the other Korban Pesach. But if we only had one registrant, me and somebody else, on this Korban Pesach, and I end up not being with that Korban Pesach, so yes, the Korban Pesach was never left without somebody registered to it, but it was somebody who wasn't from the original group, which is not like Rabbi Yehuda. I'm Rabbi Yochanan, feel the time Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda will agree in our Mishnah, because we also learned the opinion of Yehuda earlier in our Masechta Daf Tzadik Aleph. Kivin Amar Rabbi Yehuda Ein Shachnas Pesach Al Yochid. The case of our Mishnah was there were two people, each one owned the Korban Pesach by themselves. So that, by definition, according to Rabbi Yehuda, was a temporary situation, because Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is that we never leave just one person registered on the Korban Pesach. So what was the situation? Rabbi Yehuda knew that somebody else is going to become an owner in this Korban Pesach. And since ultimately somebody's going to become an owner on this Korban Pesach, that's why it's considered as if he was there at the beginning. In other words, when did Rabbi Yehuda say that you have to have one of the original owners always remain? That's when you had more than one owner. But if the Korban Pesach was only owned by one individual, since Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is that ain't shochtem as a Pesach al yachid, so it was obvious that there was going to be another person registered on this Korban Pesach before the shechita of the Korban Pesach, because you can't shecht it for one person. So therefore, since we knew that that's going to happen, Rabbi Yehuda agrees that that person, who might not have been there from the beginning, but he was certainly coming. He had to be coming, because we couldn't have a situation that there was only one person bringing Korban Pesach. And since that was ultimately going to happen, Rabbi Yehuda agrees that that new person is considered as if he was there from the beginning. And says the Gemara, Amar Vashi Misnisa Nam Mideka. We could prove that our Mishnah actually is following the opinion of Yehuda. The Tani, we also learned further in the Mishnah, the case of Chamish Chaburus Chamish Chamisha. If you have five groups that had each five members, and then all five of those animals got mixed up. So we said that each one should register on the other Korban Pesach. But we learned Shechamisha, each group had to have at least five people. Aval, we learned Shechamisha v'arba. If four of the groups there were five people, and one of the groups there were only four people. Loi, why? Because if you only have four people in one group, you won't have enough people to go around, that you should always be left with a situation. You're never going to have a situation that there won't be anybody, there won't be original owner of the Korban Pesach left there. Because since if this group only has four people, so you're only able to put four people into four groups. But we have five groups that we need to take care of. And what's the concern? The concern is that maybe one of those people is not, we're going to be left, that this fifth group that only has four people in it will be left with it not anybody from the original group. And Rabbi Yehuda holds, you always have to have somebody from the original group. So we see from here that the Mishnah actually, because it taught the halacha this way, is clearly holding that you always have to have somebody from the original group, like Rabbi Yehuda. Hanrolach Misha Shmamina. Hanrolach Misha Yatamis Liklach Pesasheni. Hanrolach Misha Yatamis Liklach Pesasheni. Hanrolach Misha Yatamis Liklach Pesasheni. Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach, we begin now the last parak of our Masechta, Perek Arei Psochim. And as the Miri explains, this Masechta was originally divided into two groups. The first part of the Masechta spoke about Hilchas Chametz Matzah. That was the first through the fourth Perek. The second part of the Masechta, as we just said, Slikluch Pesach Mesheni, speaks about the Halachas of the Karm Pesach and the Halachas of the Pesach Sheni and Karm Pesach Pesach Sheni. That was from the fifth parak until the ninth parak. In the time of the Goyim, they only learned in the yeshivas the parts of the Masechtas that were relevant lahalocha lemaisa, and therefore they would learn the first four parakim of the Masechta, and then they would learn this parak they were about to begin to learn now. Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach. Perek Arei Psochim, which speaks about primarily the halachas of the night of the Seder, all of the halachas leading up to the Seder and during the Seder. And Masechta Psochim was two Masechtas, and there was one Masechta that was learned that was relevant to Lemaisa, and then afterwards there was the middle part of the Masechta which they didn't learn. However, over the years, Baruch Hashem, Chazal, the Miri says, people began to learn everything, even parts of a Masechta that weren't relevant, la'aloch le'maisa, in their time. And that's how they began learning this part of the Masechta as well. They learned the entire Masechta, like we just finished learning, even the parts about the Karban Pesach. So we know, on the night of Pesach, on the 15th of Nisan, is when our forefathers left Mitzrayim. That's the night, as we've been discussing quite extensively. The halacha is that one has to eat the Karban Pesach, Erev Pesach. We have to bring the Karban Pesach, and the night of the Pesach, on the night of Pesach, we have to eat the Karban Pesach. As the pasuk says, "Vachlas abasur belayla ze tzli eish umatzois al meroyim yechlua." So we have to eat Pesach matzah moror. And we also have to speak about Tzipi Yitzis Mitzrayim, as the pasuk also says, "V'ayu kishocha bincha moch lemor ma'azois v'ma'atei lov b'chayzi yad ha'tzienu Hashem Mitzrayim mi'beis avodim." We also know that on the night of Pesach, we have to drink 4 cups of wine, the dalakosis. We have to eat baseba, as we're going to learn in our Mishnah in a moment. And now our Mishnah and Gemara are going to begin going in the order from Erev Pesach, teaching us what the halacha is. Says the Mishnah, Erev Psachim, there are different gersos, what is the proper wording of our Mishnah. Is it Erev Psachim or Arve Psachim? Tosfos says that the proper gersa is Arve Psachim. And as the Rishonim explain, Arve Psachim refers to the Erev Pesach of many years. Over many years, Arve Psachim, over those years, this is what one should be doing every year on Erev Pesach. Erev Psachim, so it's a little difficult of a wording. Erev is a Lashon Yochid, and Psachim is a Lashon Rabbim. So Tosfos gives two explanations to that girsa. One girsa is Erev, it's Erev Pesach, which is the day that we bring on that day many Karban Pesachs. Or Erev Psachim means both Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni. So teaches us the Mishnah, Erev Psachim, Samach LeMincha, the time of Mincha. And when we speak about Mincha, it's the time of Mincha Ketana. Mincha Ketana, Samach always means a half an hour. A half an hour before the Mincha Ketana. We know that the day there's a Mincha Ketana and the Mincha Gedolah. The Mincha Gedolah is after 6.5 hours in the day. And Mincha Gedolah is the time from when you could daven Mincha. Whenever we speak about hours, we speak about them in Shah Zmanius. Shah Zmanius means that the day, only when the day is equal, the day and night, both being 12 hours each, is each hour in the count, in the halacha of the day, an 60 minutes. In the winter, the hours in the day are less than 60 minutes, and the hours in the night are more than 60 minutes. In the summer, just the opposite. So 6.5 hours in the day is when you could daven mincha. That's when you could bring the Karm Tamid Shebein Abayim. And then 9.5 hours into the day, which is the time that every day they bring the Karm Tamid Shebein Abayim. And that's called Mincha Ketana. So says the Mishnah, Erev Pesachim and Erev Pesachim, Samach LeMincha, the time which is a half an hour before the Mincha Ketana, Lo Yoichel Adam, a person should no longer eat, Ad Shetechshech, until it becomes dark. That means until the Tzeis Kechavim, one should not eat. Even if he davened Mincha ready, even because as we learned in Masechta Shabbos, Daf Tes Amud Beis, if somebody didn't daven, he's not supposed to eat anyway. Our Mishnah is referring to an individual who already davened, and the Mishnah is teaching us that one may not eat Samach LeMincha. And the reason is that he should be able to eat the Karm Pesach L'Teyovin. He should be able to eat with the Karm Pesach at night, the Matzah at night, with a Geshmak. So, the Chasam Sofer asks that we just learned that when we speak about these hours, we speak about them in terms of Shos Zmanis. So the question the Chasam Sofer asks is if it depends that we should be able to eat with appetite at night, so how can we divide this by Shos Zmanis? It should be divided by a certain amount of time that you didn't eat and then you'll be hungry at night. And in fact, the Mishnah Berurah says that although we said that whenever we speak about the shiurim are mentioned in Shah Zmanius, says the Mishnah Berurah, that in the winter we're going to be speaking in our shiurim today, Mitzvah tomorrow, that Erev Shabbos, this is not a locha that only applies Erev Pesach, it applies every Erev Shabbos and every Erev Yontav as well. And the Mishnah Berurah says, indeed, if a person knows in the winter that the Shah Zmanis may not be very long from the Mincha Ketana until night, that if you're going to eat till then, you're not going to eat at night with appetite, of course you have to stop eating earlier. So Tosfos asks, even without the Isser to eat all these things, we have a new problem. Why on Erev Pesach, you can't eat matzah? Because the Yerushalmi says that somebody who eats matzah on Erev Pesach, Yerushalmi uses a very strong language, kilu boil arusosoy beis chamav. You're supposed to wait for the evening to eat matzah. So if that's the case, what does the Mishnah mean? So he says, the Mishnah is coming to teach us that we're speaking about matzah shira. Because, and again, chametz we certainly can't eat, as we learned at the beginning of Masechta, Machloikis, Shah Chamishis, Shah Shishi, Shah Shviyis, at what hour we can't eat chametz anymore, but certainly in the afternoon we can't eat chametz. So Taisha says that we're referring here to matzah shira. Matzah shira, one can eat on Erev Pesach, but now the Mishnah is coming to teach us that even though you can eat matzah shira on Erev Pesach, late in the afternoon, you can't eat matzah shira. The Rambam says that we're not allowed to eat Erev Pesach, not even fruits and vegetables, if it's going to cause that you shouldn't have an appetite at night. So now we have a question. What may we or may not, what type of matzah, or is there any type of matzah that we're allowed to eat on Erev Pesach? So the Oyne Yonkter says that even matzah, which you're not yoytze the chiyuv on Pesach with eating that matzah on Erev Pesach by night, one may not eat on Erev Pesach. Because even though it's a matzah, that you can't be yotze the mitzvah with, still, it has the taste of matzah, and therefore, since it has the taste of matzah, we may not eat that on Erev Pesach. And in fact, the Mashal says that it all depends on if does it have the taste of matzah or not. If something has the taste of matzah, it may not be eaten Erev Pesach. If it doesn't have the taste of matzah, it may be eaten Erev Pesach. And that's why the Mashal is lenient with matzah ashira, because he says matzah ashira doesn't taste that like matzah. And this discussion of eating matzah on Erev Pesach is a question: from when does the time come that you're not allowed to eat matzah? So clearly, as we just said, the halacha is that Erev Pesach you don't eat matzah, based on the Yerushalmi that we quoted a moment ago. And the Rama in Or Chaim Siman Tuf Ayin Aleph Sif Beis says, "Al matzah shiyotze by belayla, the matzah that we could eat by night of Pesach, also lachal kol yom abba also, may not be eaten all of Erev Pesach." So now the first question is, does kol yom abba also mean just Erev Pesach, or the night before is included? There's machlokes ha-poskim, the Mishnah Berurah paskins there in Sifkot and Yabez, that mi'ikar adin, the halacha is that it only begins on the morning of Erev Pesach. And one of the rayas I saw to this is that we say in the Manishtana, Manishtana halayla hazeh mikol halaylas, shebechol halaylas ono oichlim chometz umatzah. Why do we say shebechol halaylas? Because this night is the night that we only eat matzah. The night before, we were allowed to eat chometz and matzah. So we see that the night of Erev Pesach, we're allowed to eat matzah as well. However, there are those that disagree and hold that we don't eat matzah even the night before. There are those that say that we don't eat matzah from Rosh Chodesh Nissan. There are those that don't eat matzah from Purim even. The Shulchan Aruch therefore discusses the question, what do you do when Erev Pesach is on Shabbos, and we have to have Suda Shabbos, and we can't eat bread? So the Rama says that you could eat matzah shira, as we just learned from the Mashal, but that won't help for Shal Shudas that we eat in the afternoon. So what we should do is, the Rama says that you should eat Shal Shudas in such a year, b'mine peiris. You don't have to have bread. You don't have to have matzah. You don't have to wash. However, the Mishnah Berurah says what one can do and should do, if possible, is in the morning of Shabbos Erev Pesach, daven early. You have to daven early anyway, because even if you're going to eat only one meal and you're going to wash to that meal on bread, you have the clock ticking. But if you really want to do what's right, wash in the morning, go daven, come home, wash on challah, eat part of the suda, bench, make a hefsek, wash again, and then eat again. Furthermore, we just said that in Erev Pesach, we shouldn't eat matzah. So the Paiskim say that not only should matzah not be eaten, but everything that we eat Erev Pesach at night by the Seder should not be eaten, if possible, Erev Pesach. So one shouldn't eat maror, etc. And the Rashi explains that the reason we should do that is because we should eat matzah l'tayoven. We should eat matzah with great appetite. And the way that we do that is by not eating on Erev Pesach. And the random fact says, we know that if somebody is going to eat the matzah on the night of the Seder and he's not hungry, and it's going to be achila gasa. And when somebody eats an achila gasa, he's not mekayim the mitzvah of achila. And therefore, the proper thing is to avoid eating matzah or any of these types of foods on Erev Pesach to avoid a problem and be able to mekayim the mitzvah properly. So the Mishnah said, Lo Yoichel Adam. So the Sefer Shoshana Mo David says, why did the Mishnah stress the word Adam? So he says, the Mishnah stressed the word Adam to teach us that this is only referring to Gedolim, to adults. Somebody who anyway is not a cotton, who's not going to understand this anyway, we have not really participating in the Seder, should not, we don't have this halacha. On the other hand, if you have, Truma Sedashin says, that if you have a cotton who's going to understand Tzipi Yitzis Mitzrayim, and we have a chiv of a Gadat to Levincha, and we have a chiv to do so, B'shor She'esh Matzu Morah Menachem Ufanecha, the proper thing, says the Truma Sedashin, is not give that child either to eat matzah that way. So here we see that there's a hidden mitzvah, not just we think about hidden mitzvah, we always think about hidden mitzvah that we should have a nice esrig, we should have something that's visible, and it should be a hidden mitzvah. Here we're learning that the concept of hidden mitzvah also applies to something which is not visible. When I eat, nobody knows if I'm eating with the appetite, with geschmack, and still we see that the issue of hidden mitzvah applies there. Hidden mitzvah applies at under all circumstances. It's very interesting also, I saw that the Mefarshim point out that when we speak about matzah, we see that it should be eaten l'tayoven. We should eat it when we're hungry. On the other hand, we spoke about the Karban Pesach, which should be eaten l'soiva, that only when you're not that hungry. So we see from here that the Chazal and the Torah had very specific ideas how we should eat, why we should eat, when we're allowed to eat it. So as we learned, we're allowed to eat on Erev Pesach. We have a problem with matzah, we can't eat Erev Pesach. And the question, of course, comes up on Erev Pesach that comes out on Shabbos, what are you allowed to eat? There's a very interesting psak that Rav Bezalel Zolti Zatzal, the Yerushalayim, the Rav Yerushalayim said. So he had a question when Erev Pesach was on Shabbos, what should you do in hotels and hospitals? To give chalas in those places, of course, is not a real good option. And matzah shira is also not always the greatest option. The Shoel Meshiv, in fact, held that one shouldn't eat on Erev Pesach matzah shira. So he said that what you could do is bake matzahs, that you should have in mind that they're not l'shem mitzvah matzah. And since you had in mind they're not l'shem mitzvah matzah, you can't be yoytze the mitzvah with them. And since you can't be yoytze the mitzvah with them, the halacha is you can eat them Erev Pesach, because the only matzahs I can't eat on Erev Pesach are matzahs that I'm not, that I could use for the Seder. Rabbi Yoshev, when he was presented with this psak, said that certainly he would never be lenient besides an Erev Pesach on Shabbos, and in the situation that we had. We have to understand, says Rabbi Yoshev, that the Gemara just said, we just quoted the Rishonim, that the reason we're not supposed to eat matzah on Erev Pesach is that at night you should eat the matzah that you haven't eaten on Erev Pesach with geshmak. The taste of the matzah that's not baked l'shma, and the taste of the matzah that's baked l'shma, is the exact same taste. And since it's the exact same taste, then you defeated the purpose of what we're trying to accomplish. So therefore, Rabbi Yoshua said, maybe because of the circumstances, I could understand Rav Zolti's psak, but it's not something that one should do l'chatchila. So we learned, achetachshich, until the night, you shouldn't eat. So what, asked Tosfos, is the Mishnah trying to teach us with achetachshich? Of course, once it becomes night, you're allowed to eat. And furthermore, we're going to learn in the Gemara, discussing the halachas Erev Shabbos, Erev Yontif, there the Gemara doesn't teach us the words Asher Techshach when it wants to teach us that you're not allowed to eat till the night. So Tosfos answers that we're learning from here that you're not yoitza, the mitzvah, matzah, maror, or any of the mitzvahs at night till it's mamish night. It means many times, Erev Shabbos, Erev Yontif, people make Shabbos Yontif early. But by Pesach, we can't make we can't begin the Seder before night. Because since the Torah, says Tosfos, says by the Korban Pesach, V'ochlu es habosor b'layla hazeh, so it means it has to be b'layla hazeh. Shabbos and Yontif, you can make Shabbos and Yontif early. Even though that's the halacha, there are poskim that suggest that even Shabbos, if you make Shabbos early and you begin the Suda early, you should at least eat a kezayis after dark. Because the Torah says three times the word hayoyim on Shabbos to teach us that we have to eat three meals on Shabbos, and they should be eaten all on Shabbos. So even if you're making Shabbos early, you should eat some of the meal after dark. So says the Chasam Sofer, what about saying the Haggadah? Can you begin saying the Haggadah before night? So Chasam Sofer says that maybe you can, but he says the Trumas Hadeshen disagrees. And the Trumas Hadeshen says that we can't start anything. We can't even make Kiddush before it's dark. Because Kiddush, also explains the Taz, has to be in the time when you could eat matzah. And the Magen Avraham explains that Kiddush is one of the Dalakosis. And since that's the case, just like everything we explained of the Suda, of the Seder, has to be at night, so too is the Halacha regarding Kiddush, and nothing can be done before it's dark. Says the Mishnah further, Afil Anish Yisrael, even the most poor individual in Klal Yisrael, Lo Yoichel Ad Sheyesef, until he sits on a bed or a couch, reclining. And the halacha is that, and this halacha Rashi explains, that has nothing to do with the previous halacha. And the halacha is teaching us that even the poorest person has to eat in a reclined fashion on Pesach. And Rashi teaches us a very important halacha, that reclining has to be at a table. So what does that feel mean? That Tosfos explains that we would think that when Ani sits Baseba, it's really meaningless. He's a poor person. Teaches us the Mishnah that even if you're sitting on a plain chair and you don't have that much to do a seva with, you're mechuyev to do a seva to the ability that you can. The Ritva gives a different explanation. The Ritva says an Ani, and this maybe is relevant to us as well, normally doesn't sit Baseba. So sitting in a reclining fashion maybe should not be considered showing anything special. Somebody who sits Baseva all year round, so of course, Pesach by night should be sitting Baseva as well. But the individual who doesn't sit Baseva all year round, of course he can't. The individual who doesn't sit Baseva all year round, maybe for him sitting Baseva is not considered anything special. Teaches us the Mishnah, that everybody has to sit Baseva, even the Ani Shel Yisrael. Tosfos brings enough different pshat. Tosfos says that the Mishnah is teaching us that one may not eat on Erev Pesach after Sher Asiris. And now the Mishnah is teaching us, not like Rashi said, that this is a new halacha, but the Mishnah is teaching us that even a poor person who Nebuch is very hungry, still should not eat on Erev Pesach. He shouldn't sit down to eat until the Seder. And as the Yisroch Moshe explains, the halacha is that if somebody doesn't have a candle for Friday night Suda, he should eat before Shabbos. Teaches us the Mishnah that even though normally we're lenient in allowing an Ani to eat early so he should be able to eat and see what he's eating, and he can't afford any light, eat early. When it comes to Pesach, the halacha that we just explained, that one can't begin the Seder until the night, applies to everyone. So the Medrash says, the Pasuk says, V'yasef elokim es ha'am, derech ha'midbar yamsof. Says the Medrash, Mikan Amru, from here we learn, afilu she'oni she'bisrol, lo yoichel she'tzi'esef. So it's a very difficult Medrash to understand. What does the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out in a circular fashion have to do with the halacha that we just learned, that an Ani has to eat Baseva? So the Sefer Shem Eliezer explains that when Klai Yisrael and Mitzrayim did not just have a Shibra Guf to Mitzrayim, they were just not just physically subservient to the Mitzrayim, they also had a Shibra Nefesh. And if a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and as the Pasuk says, that if they would have not gone in this route, they would have gone back to Mitzrayim, even if it meant working as slaves in Mitzrayim, because they were so involved, they were so enveloped by the Tumas Mitzrayim, they would prefer to go back to the Tumah Mitzrayim, even if it meant being slaves. So it's understandable for the Oni, because he doesn't have a great life. But what about the Usher? So we see from here that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wasn't concerned about the Gashmias. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was concerned about the Ruchnias. The main aspect of our going out of Mitzrayim was for the Ruchnias. And since the main point of our going out of Mitzrayim was for the Ruchnias, it doesn't make a difference either Oni or Usher. Leaving Mitzrayim was taking you out of the Memtesh Shari Tumah. So that's Pshat. Why did he take him out that way? Because he did not want them to go back to Mitzrayim. Who's the one that has nothing? That has nothing to lose by going back to Mitzrayim? The Oni. Why still did HaKadosh Baruch Hu not want him to go back to Mitzrayim? HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not want him to go back to Mitzrayim because HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want he should have the Shibud HaRuchni, the Shibud HaNefesh of Mitzrayim, the Memtesh Shari Tumah Mitzrayim. So it turns out that even the Oni has so much to be happy on the night of Mitzrayim that we're no longer Meshubud to Mitzrayim, we're no longer connected to that Tumah. And that's why the halacha is, I feel Anisha Bisrael, lo yoichel at sheyisef. Another halacha, v'lo yifchasu, even a person who eats from the tamchui, even a person who's very poor and lives off tzedakah, the halacha is, lo yifchasu lo me'arba koisus shel yayin, everybody has to drink 4 cups of wine, v'afilu min tamchui, even if he's collecting from tzedakah, the tzedakah has to provide him with 4 cups of wine. Zamiri explains, the 4 cups of wine, one is for the Agadah, one is for Birchas Hamazon, one is for Kiddush, one is for the Agadah, one is for Birchas Hamazon, and one is that we say Halal on it. The Rashi explains that we drink 4 cups of wine, connected the Arba L'shoina Shagula, that it says in the Torah, V'tzeisi v'yitzalti v'lokachti, V'tzeisi v'yitzalti v'lokachti v'ga'alti. And as the Miri explained, each one of these 4 Lashonos of Gula represent another aspect of Yetzias Mitzrayim. The Vetzesi is that we went out of the Shibud Mitzrayim. As the Pasuk says, Vetzesi Eschem Mitachai Sivos Mitzrayim. The second was that we no longer have to be subservient to the country Mitzrayim, to the kingdom Mitzrayim. That's what the Pasuk says, Vetzalti Eisam Evdosam. The third is that we are now a great people. V'galti etzchem b'zroi netuya. And the fourth is that we are now the people of Hashem. V'lakachti etzchem li l'am. So Tosfos asks, why did they specifically make this halacha over 4 cups of wine, not over 4 things, not over any other foods? So Chassam Sofer says that the whole purpose, as we're learning now, of this is to say shvach v'shira ta'kadosh baruch hu, and the halacha is that ein oim shira el alayayin. The only time that we say shira is alayayin, and therefore it was specifically made to have 4 cups of wine. And another pshat, similar pshat that I saw, is yayin represents cheres, yayin represents freedom, and because yayin represents freedom, the halacha is we made the dalakosis specifically on wine. The Rashbam says that if somebody doesn't have wine and the Gabbai Tzedakah did not give him wine, he should even sell his clothing or do whatever is necessary that he should have 4 cups of wine. So the Bi'al Locha asks, why are the dalakosis different that we find that Chazal was so strict that a person under all circumstances have to take, get the wine. So he says that indeed, that somebody who has money has to spend all of his money to do a mitzvah. But that's only in a case that he has a way of earning more money and he'll have money to live. But indeed, says the Bi'al Locha, hopefully it's not Nogeya, if somebody doesn't have money, and if he's going to spend the money that he maybe has or that he maybe could access, and then he won't be able to replenish that money, he doesn't have to spend his last dollar for dollar kaisos. So here we just learned, as we just explained, how important Chazal made the halacha of drinking dollar kaisos, and as the Chasam Sofer just explained to us, specifically over yayin. The Shulchan Aruch Paskins in Siman Tuf Ayin Beis Sif Yud. Mishen Eshoyz Yayin Mneishim Azikai. Somebody who doesn't drink wine because it bothers him, or Sonai, he just dislikes wine. Tzorach Litchis Atzma Lishtais. He should try to push himself. Lekai Mitzis Arbakaisis. So the Shulchan Aruch says that a person should push himself to drink wine. However, many Paiskim, the Mishnah Brura, says that who is the Shulchan Aruch speaking to? A person who doesn't really enjoy wine. He's going to get a little headache from drinking wine. So he, by the Seder, should try to drink wine. But, says the Mishnah Brura, if it's going to cause him Chas V'Shalom to get sick, of course he shouldn't drink wine. And the Mishnah Brura gives a very simple explanation. He says, as we just learned, what's the reason that Chazal said we drink Dalet Kaisos of wine? Because it's derech eris. If by drinking the wine you're going to get sick, that certainly isn't going to that isn't considered derech eris. And in fact, Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank and the Mekroy Kodesh says that all mitzvahs, Chazal, the Torah did not give us mitzvahs to get sick from the mitzvahs. Chazal gave us mitzvahs that we should be able to do the mitzvahs in a proper fashion, not in a fashion that Chas V'Shalom should cause us to get sick. Moreover, Bezman HaZeh, we will still speak about it in Mitzvah Shem, there are many opinions that hold that L'chatchila one can use grape juice. So our Mishnah said that Erev Pesach, Samach L'Mincha, a person shouldn't eat Ad Shetachshech. Ask the Gemara, my Iri Arvei Psochim, why did our Mishnah choose to speak only about Arvei Psochim? Isn't that Halacha Afila Arvei Shabbosos V'Yom Toiv V'Nami? Doesn't this halacha apply to every Erev Shabbos and Erev Yontif as well? The Tanya, as the Brisa says, Lo yoichal adam b'arvi shabbosos v'yom toivim min ha-mincha l'mala. That every Erev Shabbos and Erev Yontif, you shouldn't eat from mincha l'mala. Kidei shikarnas l'shabbos kishutava. That we should come into Shabbos with an appetite. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yosi Omer, oich v'hoil chashetachshach. You could eat till the evening. And so according to Rabbi Yehuda, why does our Mishnah single out Erev Pesach? Answers the Gemara, Rambam, Rav Huna lo tzricha el Rabbi Yosi. Our Mishnah is following the opinion of Rabbi Yosi. The Omer that says every Erev Shabbos, Erev Yontif, oich v'hoylech ad shetachshach, teaches us our Mishnah. Hani mili b'Erev Shabbos v'Erev Yom Tovim, on a normal Erev Shabbos and Yontif, the halacha is oich l'ad shetachshach, aval Erev Pesach. When we speak about Erev Pesach, b'shum the chiv the matzah, there's a chiv the raisa to eat matzah at night, and you want to eat that matzah with a gishmak, that's where Moed Rabbi Yossi will agree that you should not eat an Erev Pesach min mincha malach. So the Rishonim ask, don't we have to eat every Shabbos and every Yontif? So why, again, does Rabbi Yossi single out Erev Pesach? So Rabbeinu David explains that since you have to eat the matzah, and if you're going to eat it by achila gasa, as we explained before, it's not going to be considered that you are yoytze the mitzvah. That's why Chazal were more concerned than Erev Pesach. Another pshat is that on Shabbos, there's a chiv of oynig Shabbos. Since the chiv of oynig Shabbos, whatever gives you oynig, the chiv doesn't require a specific food that has to be eaten. On Erev Pesach, it's not that you could choose how you're going to enjoy your Pesach. It has to be with matzah. And since it has to be with matzah, then we want you to be able to eat the matzah with Latayovin don't eat Erev Pesach. Rapapa Mafil Tem Rabbi Yehuda. Amish to follow the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Hosom, on Erev Shabbos for Erev Yontif, this man is Mina Minchel Mala, 9.5 hours into the day. Huda Osir. Samach L'Mincha, a half an hour before, Shari is Mutter. Avil be Erev Pesach, on Erev Pesach, Afil Samach L'Mincha, Nami Osir, and even a half an hour before, on Erev Pesach, they were more machmer that even the half an hour before, one already has to stop eating so they should be able to eat the matzah at night with a geschmack.